Begin the current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Kufnun Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf regarding the death of people. The Gemara begins. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Reid, Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmederav. Me'aspeidu shel Adam Nikar, from a person's eulogy, in other words, regarding the eulogy of that person that passed away, it's recognizable im ben ha'olam habahu imlab, if he is a person that's destined for the world to come or not. That if he's an upstanding person that was kosher, then everyone cries about him and they shed tears and they all talk about his praise. But if not, that means obviously someone that was not a person that was an upstanding person. And then we see if he's a ben oil mabo or not. And then the Gemara asks, is that really so? That you could tell if people cry and they say great things about him, it means he was great, but if not, he wasn't. But Rav told Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, achem be'espeda, be warm when you're eulogizing me. In other words, during my death, you should be very strong and passionate in the eulogy, in the hesped, that you should make people cry and that everyone should be involved emotionally and they should get all warmed up about me. The hasam came in because I'm going to be there. In other words, during the hesped, during the eulogy, I'm going to be there. I'm going to hear how you're going to be involved or not. And therefore, I want you to give a good hesped. So the question is, obviously you see that Rav had to warn him regarding his hesped, and Rav definitely was a great person, and definitely he was a ben of my boy, he's going to El Mabo, so why do you have to warn him? You said that from a person's hesped, it's recognizable that it has to be like that. If he's going to El Mabo, it's going to be a warm hesped, a good eulogy, everyone's going to be crying and all involved, so why do you have to warn him if he's a ben of my El Mabo? And that the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. What it means to say is that he's asking him that a person should be warm and then they'll be warmed up. And that is, a person always has to give a good hesped, a good eulogy. Because if people don't get so worked up about an old person that passed away, even if he was a tzaddik and a great man. However, for a chassid, for a righteous person, when they give a good eulogy, a good inspiring hesped, then people get warmed up and then they cry. However, someone that's not a righteous person, then even if you give an inspiring hesped and a eulogy, people are not going to get worked up about it and they're not going to cry. So the idea is this, that we know if you're a ben oil mabo or not, means to say if there's a good hesped given, inspiring talk, and then people cry, then that means that that person was an adam kasher. But if not, that means that he wasn't an ish kasher or a chassid. And that's why he told him, give a good hesped, and then if he's an ish kasher, then people are automatically going to cry. So related to this, Abai told Rabba, Kugoy Mar, for example, the master, in other words, you Rabba, the sonule kula bin pumbadizir, that all the people of Pumbadisa, they hate you. And the reason was because Rabba was the Rav over there, and he gave everyone Musar regarding things regarding spiritual matters. And the people in Pumbadisa were Ramam, they were crooks, as the Gemara Masechta Chulin says that if someone from Pumbadisa lends you money, change your location where you're staying because they were crooks. And therefore they hated Rabba, who used to give them Musar about the things they used to do in their lifestyle. So you that everyone hates you, Manachem Espeid, who's going to give you a warm eulogy? You're not going to get any of that. So Malaysa Rabbi responded, Mr. Yeya At Rabbi Baruchan. It's enough for me, you and Rabbi Baruchan, who you both know me and you don't hate me, and therefore it's enough with the Hespeidin that you're going to give. Another Hagdara, another qualification that's a sign, who's the Ben Oilam Haba, the Gemara gives a second Hagdara. Ezehu Ben Oilam Haba, who is someone that's destined to the world to come? How can we know this? Amalei says a pasuk in Yeshaya, "Vaznecha tishmana dava macharecha leimim," that your ears are going to hear something from behind you saying, and that is from behind your bed, in other words, from the coffin. When you die, you're going to hear people saying the following things: "Zehaderech," this is the path. In other words, the path that this person that passed away in, "Lechuboy," you people are telling other people that's the path you should go in. Kisaminu v'chisamilu, whether he went to the right or whether he went to the left, that this is how you should be following. So the person that hears that by his own hesped, when he's in the coffin, then he knows that he's a ben oil mahaba. That's a guarantee that this person was an ish kasher. A third pshat the Gemara brings to know about who is a ben oil mahaba. Chanina amar kol shadas rabbi seinu noichemenu, whoever has that the rabbanim, that his teachers are fulfilled with him, that they're happy with what he has done, that what they hear about him, they're happy what they're hearing, that person is muftach lo shehu benoil mabo, that is going to be summoned to the world to come. Now the Gemara continues with the pasuk that was mentioned on the previous daf regarding the pasuk in Kehelas about someone that when he gets older, about how the body starts coming apart and giving in metaphorical terms. It says, v'shavavu b'shuk ha-saiftim, that the eulogizers will surround them in the marketplace, which the Gemara says, B'nei Galila Amru, those from the Galilee said, Asei Devarim, do things. That's because the beginning of that pasuk says, Ki Hoyle Ha'odom El Beis Ha'ilim, that when a person goes to his eternal resting place, Then it says at the end of that pasuk, "V'savu b'shuk ha'seftim," that the eulogizers will go around in the marketplace talking about him. So what it's trying to say is that a person should do things, that is, that people should say lifnei mitascha, in front of your bed. In other words, by your eulogy. In other words, do good deeds so that when you pass away, they will have good things to say. B'nei Yehuda, those from the Judea, they said a little different version. Asei dvar melachim mitascha, do things so that people could say them behind your bed. And the Gemara of Lepligi, they're not really arguing, but Mar ki Asrei, the one who said this one was doing it how in his location they would do it, and then it was saying how in his location they was doing it. And that is, in the Galilee, the eulogizers, the safdanim, would be in front of the mita, in front of the coffin. In Judea and Yehuda, they would be behind the mita, so they're really saying the same thing. In other words, do good deeds so that when it comes time for the hesped, whether it be in front of the mita or behind it, they will have good things to say. Now, regarding this preparation for the day of death, the Gemara brings a similar teaching. Tanahas, we learned over there in Masechtas Avos. Reb Lezer says, Shuv yom echad lefnei masascha. Do tshuva, repent one day before you die. So Shaul Tamid of Rabbi, students asked him, "V'chi Adam Yodei Ezem Yomes?" What do you mean? Does anyone know the day that he's going to die to do tshuva the day before? Amar lehem v'kolshkin, so he says, all the more so that since a person doesn't know the day he's going to die, Yashav Hayayim Hashem Yomes Lamacha, let him repent today. That is any day, because he might die the following day. But Nimtzel Kol Yomav b'tshuva, and then he will find that all his days will be in repentance, which is exactly how it should be. So to Shlema says in his great wisdom in Kehelis, "B'chol eis, at every moment, you begadecha, let your garments be," which is a reference to one's soul, "levanim, let it be white," which is to be pure and clean. "V'shemen al roish chal yechse," and that oil on your head should not be lacking. That is, a person should always be pure. So Amar B'yechem Mezakai, "Moshe l'melech sheziman esavadav l'sudah." This could be compared to a king that invited his guests to a meal. "V'lo kovel emezman," but he didn't set a set time when it's going to be. So regarding the smart ones over there, Kishtus Atzman, they adorned themselves. V'yashal Pesach Besamelch, and they were waiting there. They sat in front of the king's entrance. Amru, they said, "Klum Chasul Besamelch," is anything lacking for the king's household? In other words, everything could be prepared, and it's not going to take too long to prepare it because he's a king. Anything he could do, and if we have to be ready for the meal, all dressed up, ready, waiting for it to happen. Could happen at any moment. Tipshin shebehen holchem lachem, but the foolish ones, they went to do their work. Amr, they said, "Klum yeshudu b'leitarech," is there any meal that doesn't take a long time, especially a king's meal? It's going to take a time. We still have a long time before the meal starts, and therefore we're going to have a long time till we get dressed. Bepisim, suddenly, and whenever it is, it's always suddenly. Bikish hamelech zavada, the king requested his servants to come to the meal. So pikhin shebehem nichnasu lefonim k'shem k'shatim. So the smart ones were there; they were ready and all dressed, adorned and ready to go. But the foolish ones, they had to come right away because the king called them. They came in all dirty and all filthy. So the king was all rejoiced and happy with the smart ones. They were coming in all dressed up, proper attire. Because but he was upset at the foolish ones. So Amar, he said as follows, "Halol shekishtu es asmal esudu," regarding these people, that the smart ones, that they adorn themselves for the meal, "yishu v'yechlu v'yishtu," they could sit and eat and drink, they will partake of the meal. "Halalu shalakishtu asmal esudu," regarding these that they didn't dress up properly, adorned for the meal, "yamdu," they will stand and they will watch. And so too in the world to come, the righteous will sit and eat, and the wicked ones will have to stand and watch the others enjoying themselves. However, the Gemara brings an argument that Chosnisho Remeir, the son-in-law of Remeir, he said, Meshum Remeir Omar, that Remeir had said that no, Af hei nirn kimashamshin, it can't be that the Rishon are standing there and watching, because then they would seem to be like they're serving. And that is, it doesn't look like that they're not part of it, because they seem like that they were invited, but they're serving, because the servants, a lot of times they stand there, and therefore it's not such a great embarrassment to be standing and watching, because it still looks like you're part of it. Ella, rather, it's even worse than that. Eilu ve'eilu yeshurin, they're both sitting. So therefore, it doesn't look like they're serving. Halalu oichlin mahalalu re'evin, but these are eating, and these are hungry. Halalu shoysin v'halalu tzmeim, these are drinking, and these are thirsty. Shneimar, it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Koyam Hashem, so Hashem says, Hine avodu yechelu, that my servants, they shall eat, v'atem tirava, but you will be hungry. Hine avodu yishtu, behold, my servants will be drinking, v'atem tismo, and you will be thirsty. And it says over there, Hine avoda yiroinu mituvalev, that behold, my servants will be rejoicing, they will sing out from the goodness of heart. V'atem titzalku mikeblev, and you will be screaming out from the pain of your heart. That is the punishment of the Risham in Oilam Haba. The Gemara concludes, Davach, another pshat in the pasuk that we mentioned before, although we mentioned before regarding doing tshuva, here the Gemara brings a different interpretation. P'chol eis yu v'gedech levan, at all times your garment should be white. Elu tzitzis, that's a reference to tzitzis, that's the white of there is regarding the tzitzis. So that's a reference that a person should always be wearing tzitzis. V'shemen al roish chayechsi, you should not be lacking oil on your head. Eilu tefillin, that's a reference to tefillin, because that's a reference, the shemen is from the word shame, from shemen toiv, good oil, that's a reference to Hashem's name, as it says in the pasuk, v'ra'u chal amei arts, that all the nations of the land will see, ki shema Hashem nikalecha, that the name of Hashem is on you. And the Rebbe Elazar Gadol teaches in Masechtas Brachas and Davav, that's a reference to tefillin shebaroish, that's v'shemen, that the name of Hashem shall be arishech on your head, that shouldn't be lacking, that's tefillin, so a person should always be wearing tefillin and tzitzis, and thereby he will have the bracha of b'chol esi v'gedecha levavonim v'shem arish al yechsa. Hadna lach shayel, we shall return to you, Perek HaShel, the 23rd Perek in Masechtas Shabbos. Now we begin the 24th Perek in Masechtas Shabbos, Perek Misha Hechshech. So the Mishnah begins. Misha hechshech baderech, regarding someone that it got dark, it's getting dark on the road, it's almost Shabbos. Now what should he do? He's carrying his wallet and he's in the street and it's about to become Shabbos. So noisin kisel nachri, gives his wallet to a non-Jew when it's still day. And although generally that's us, as the Gemara is going to explain, which that's included in the isav amir la'akim to tell a guy to do a malacha for you, which would here he would be carrying it for you once it becomes Shabbos in the street. However, we were lenient regarding this case of this great loss of a person with his wallet. He's not going to just stand there and let his wallet just get lost in the street. However, if it doesn't have a non-Jew there and it's about to be Shabbos, however, as the Gemara is going to say, but if there was a non-Jew, that is the best option than the one that the Mishnah is about to say. So if he doesn't have a non-Jew, manicha al-chamari, puts it on his donkey. When he gets to the outer courtyard, that is the furthest one of the courtyards from the city, which is the closest place that his wall could be protected and he doesn't have to have it carried anymore, and he wants to unload it from his donkey, so then he could take with his hands off of the donkey, those vessels which could be moved and not mukta, you could take it directly off the donkey and put it there in that outer courtyard of the city. Regarding those which are not moved on Shabbos because they're muktzah, so how can you get off the donkey to keep it there in that outer courtyard? Mata hachivom, you untie the ropes, the straps of the saddle which is tied to it, and then the sacks fall by themselves. That's a way to get the muktzah items off of the donkey when you get to the outer courtyard. Now the Gemara begins and asks on the first halacha. My time is surely Rabbanu lemesiv kisel nachi. Why did the Rabbanu permit a person to give his wallet to a non-Jew? But that is classic, what's called Amir Lakim, telling a non-Jew to do something that's forbidden for you to do on Shabbos. You can't tell him because, as Rashi explains, which is one of the opinions of Amir Lakim, because he's your messenger. And you're telling him to do a malacha that you yourself can't do. That's forbidden. So how could Rabban have said that you could have the non-Jew carry your wallet for you when it's turning Shabbos? And that the Gemara says that although generally that it's forbidden, but here the Chacham understood that we're not going to make it usher because of Amir La'akim. Because Kim Lahul Rabbanan, the Rabbanan knew the in other Maimon Asim Abba money. A person will not stand in the face of his money being lost, that he's not going to save his money. And therefore, Eloy Sharsley, we don't permit him to at least have a non-Jew do it for him, which would not be for sure not an Issa Deraisa and possibly not even an Issa Rabbanan, because Rabbanan permitted in this case, he might come to carry it himself for Amas and Shazram, which is going to be Issa Deraisa, and therefore we did not make it forbidden for him to do it through a non-Jew. So Amar Rabbi qualifies this and says, this heter was only Dafka Kisa, only if it's his wallet. And that is, since he put in effort, he worked hard to make the money, and therefore it's going to be a big loss for him, it personally, emotionally, and if you don't let him to give it to the non-Jew, he's going to come to carry it himself because he can't look at his hard-earned money going there and just standing there in the street because it's suddenly Shabbos. But if it's a found item that he just saw and it's about to be Shabbos, he can't utilize this heter of giving it to a non-Jew because he doesn't have that same attachment as he has when it's his hard-earned money from his wealth. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, why do we need an Amor to say it, that it's only by a wallet, and it's not by a metziah, by a found item? Kisitanan, the Mishnah says explicitly, if it's his wallet. So obviously we know it's only talking about his money that he had already, not newfound money. And then the Gemara says, no. Now the tame, I would have thought, hu adin afil metziah, the truth is the halacha of a Mishnah applies even to a newfound item. And this says now Mishnah his wallet, or it's only saying the way it normally is, what usually happens. You don't usually find something a few minutes before Shabbos. Usually it is that you're carrying a wallet and you didn't realize that it's on the Shabbos, then you're stuck, so therefore we picked a classic case. But however, maybe it would have applied even to a Metziah Kamash 1. That's why we needed Amira to tell us that from Rava, that even that it's only going to be by a wallet, not by a newfound item, that there it's going to be awesome. However, another qualification in Salacha, the Gemara says, "Below Imar, we did not say that it's usher by a metziah by a newfound item. Only if it never came to his hand yet. That is, before it got dark, he didn't pick it up and say, wow, look at this, I found $100. And he picked it up and he's like, oh my, it's almost Shabbos. Then we didn't say, since he never merited it yet, then it's going to be Asr. But if it already came to his hand, then Kikizadami has the same halacha as his wallet. He already acquired it. Therefore, it's going to pain him for it to be just sitting there on Shabbos. And then he might come to carry it. And therefore, in that case, also would be permitted to utilize the heter of Amir L'Akam of giving it to a non-Jew. However, Ikudam, that those that say a different version, that Bali Rava, on this Rava had a question. Mitziha Bali Yodimahu, regarding a newfound item that came to his hand before Shabbos. He asked about it. Kivin to Asli Yodi Kikisadim, do you say that since it already came to his hand in his possession, therefore it is like his wallet, and that therefore we apply the heter of giving it to a non Jew? A demo, maybe not. Since he did not exert effort into acquiring it, he didn't have to schwitz and work hard Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Therefore, it would not have the same classification as the wallet. Take or let it stand. It's not clear if it will have the same halacha as the wallet or not, because although on one hand it has that because it already came to his possession, but on the other hand it's not like that because he didn't work hard for the effort, and maybe he won't be so makbid about to come carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara continues to explain our mission that said, now, let's say he doesn't have a non-Jew with him. So he said, then you put it on your donkey. So now the Gemara infers, the reason is, only if you don't have a non-Jew, then you use your donkey. But if you have a non-Jew, then you give it to the non-Jew, and you don't do it through the vehicle of your donkey. Now the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Why is it better to do Amir La'akim than have it your donkey carrying your wallet? And now the Gemara says, Chamur at the mitzvah al-shvir sasa. Your donkey, you're commanded regarding his rest. And you're not allowed to have your donkey doing a malach on Shabbos. Regarding the non-Jew, you're not commanded regarding his resting. There's a different problem about Amir La'akim. But biblically, Minat Torah, there is no issue of you making sure that a goy should rest, because to the contrary, a nachri shashavas is chayiv misa, he's not supposed to rest. And therefore, it's better to give it non-Jew than the donkey. Now the Gemara gives a case of many different options a person would have. Which one would be the best one to do it? Because since he can't carry it, how should he get it back home? So the Gemara says, Chamor, if he has a donkey, the cherish and the deaf mute, shaita, somebody that's deranged, the cotton and the minor. A chamor manachle, then you put on the donkey. But you don't give it to the deaf, mute, the deranged person, or the minor. My time, what's the reason? Why is the donkey better, in other words, more lenient than all the other ones? Because Hani Adam, they're all people. And in the category of people, which are people that are generally obligated in mitzvahs, you might come to mix up. Although these category of people, they're not mitzvah and mitzvahs, but since they're people, you might come to mix up and let regular people do it, which are not allowed to, because you're not allowed to have them do a malacha for you on Shabbos. They have a better put it on the donkey than these people. Hi, Lav Adam, the donkey's not a person. Now the Gemara gives a different case. If you have a deaf mute and a deranged person, l'shaita, you give it to the deranged person. Similarly, shaita v'katan, you have a deranged person and a minor, l'shaita, you give it to the deranged person. The reason is because a shaita has no das at all. But a cheresh, a deaf mute, although he doesn't have complete das, a regular type of a thought process as a regular adult, however, it's there on a smaller level, as the Gemara Yevamos and Daf Kufi Gimel Amud Aleph says, and similarly a cotton. A minor also has somewhat of a das, and is also going to come to the category of mitzvah. Therefore, when you have a choice between the shaita and another one, you're going to give it to the shaita to do it, because he's much less of a level of mitzvah, of having this problem of giving him to do it for you on Shabbos than the others. Now the Gemara asks, however, Ibailu had the following question. Cheresh v'katan, if you have the deaf mute and the minor, which both of them have some levels of das, my, what's the halacha? Who do you give it to there? In other words, you can't carry it, but a katan is not mitzvah in mitzvahs, and the cheresh is also not. Who do you give it to, the cheresh or the katan? So the Gemara says, Libet Rebbe Laza loy tibay lach. According to the opinion of Rebbe Laza, definitely it's not a question who you're going to give it to. The Tanya has learned in the Braisa, Yubitzchuk oim Mishum Rebbe Laza, trumas cheresh. Rebbe Laza says, regarding the truma that a cheresh took off from the produce, we continue on to Amud Beis, Loi teitzil chulun, that produce that was tevel, that was untithed, didn't have truma taking off, and then you have truma taken off, it cannot go out to chulun that it's considered as if it was tithed, and therefore that truma is going to be usher for zarim for people that are not kohanim. However, still you have to go back and take over truma again from a regular person, from a pekech. And the reason nishu suffik, so therefore on one hand we will consider a truma that a non-kohen cannot eat it. However, we don't consider it as if you took over trumas that, and you still you'll have to take another truma for that produce from a regular person, a regular adult. And that is, we see that it's a suffik. That is because we're not sure regarding a cheresh if he has clear das or not. And therefore, according to Reb Yitzchak, And regarding the case that we said before between a cheresh and a katan, definitely you're going to give it to the katan because he's not mechuyev in mitzvahs at all. Whereas a cheresh, Rebbe Elazar at least is mesupik. He's unclear if he's mechuyev in mitzvahs or not. He's not sure if his truma will work or not. So we see at least there's a suffix. However, katan, we know for sure he doesn't have a das, at least in regards to being mechuyev in mitzvahs. And his truma for sure wouldn't be a truma. And therefore we say that in this case between the cheresh and the katan, you'll give it to the katan, which is a much lower level than the cheresh. However, the Gemara says, the question would apply in the opinion of the Rabbanim, that they say that there's no das at all for the cheresh, and therefore regarding mitzvahs, he's the same and he's the equivalent as a katan, and therefore there the question would be, who do you give it to? As the Gemara says, as we learned in the Mishnah Trumas, chamisha lo yitroimu, five different types of individuals cannot take off truma. The imtarmu in trumas and truma, and if they do take off truma, that truma is not a truma. What are they? Eluhain. They are cheresh, a deaf mute, Shaita, a deranged person, the katan, a minor, someone takes a truma from produce that's not his, and that is without rishus, without permission. As the pasuk in Devarim Yudal says, Tevuas zarecha, the produce of your zera, of your plantings, which is to say that it has to be yours, and that is if you don't have permission, it's not yours, so therefore it's not going to be a good truma. And regarding cheresh shaita v'katan, how we know that doesn't work for truma, because it says in the pasuk, Asher yidvenu libay, that his heart has donated it. It means that someone that has a heart, that has the understanding to give an offering, to give an adava, he could go ahead and take off truma. But these, though, they don't have das, cheresh shaita v'katan, their truma is not a good truma. And finally, v'nachri shatorim eshel Yisrael, a non-Jew that goes and takes off truma from Yisrael's produce, afilu b'shusay, even with the permission and with the appointment of the Jew, of the Jewish owner, doesn't make a difference, it's not going to work. In truma, the truma, his truma is not a truma. And that is because the idea of shlichus, that a summon could go ahead and be the emissary of someone to go ahead and take off truma, is included from the pasuk of Kain Chirim Gam Atim. So too, you also should go ahead and take off truma. Which extra word Gam Atim, you also, which comes to include your shliach, your messenger could also do it for you. However, that comparison is comparing Gam to Atim. The also, the inclusiveness, which is in reference to the messenger, to Atim, to you, to say just like you are B'nai B'ris, people that are from the Jewish people, so too your messengers have to be B'nai B'ris, people from the Jewish people, which excludes a non-Jew, and therefore even if you make him a messenger, B'shus, he still can't be it. So these five types of people, their truma is not a good truma. Now from there we see that the truma of a cheresh has no halachic status of truma at all, and it won't be truma, and therefore it's not like a B'lazer who said it's a suffix. And that the question is, my, who would we rather give it to? It seems to be cheresh and katan are the equivalent regarding their das, regarding mitzvahs. Do we say lecheresh yovle that you give it to the deaf mute because the katan also l'chal das? A katan would be worse to give it to because at least at one point he's going to get a clear das. When he turns 13, he's going to be totally mechuyev in mitzvahs, and therefore better give it to the cheresh, who is more closer to a non-entity regarding this halacha. Idim l'katan yovle. Maybe you say you give it to a child, the cheresh also l'chalufi begal bekech, because a deaf mute will possibly get mixed up with an adult that is intelligent and does have das, who is mechuyev in mitzvahs, and that would be awesome to give it to such a person when it's about to become Shabbos, your wallet. And therefore, maybe it makes more sense to give it to a child because you're not going to come to confuse and think, wait, it's almost Shabbos, I can give it off to a person. That's not true. We never saw that. We only saw it by a minor. And therefore, maybe it makes more sense to give it to Kutin or the Cheresh. And therefore, that was the question that would be applied according to the opinion of the Rabbanon. On that, the Gemara says, it's a machlekes. Some say you give it to the Cheresh, again, because a Kutin would be worse, because he, on some level, is going to attain at least full das when he turns 13. Some say, no, you give it to the Kutin, because a Cheresh would be worse, because then you might confuse him with a regular adult. He looks the same, although we know that he doesn't have the same capacity of das as a regular person that's not a deaf mute. Now the Gemara says, so we had this order, this hierarchy of which one would be the best to give it to. However, let's say you don't have either one of these five that would be on some level permitted to give it to before Shabbos. In Cham Loi Nachi, which is the best. Let's say you don't have a non-Jew. V'loi Chama, you don't have the second best. You don't have a donkey to put it on. V'loi Chesh, you don't have a deaf mute. V'loi Shad, you don't have a deranged person. V'loi Katan, and you don't have a minor. So the question is, my, what do you do then? Now you're stuck, you're here with your wallet, it's almost Shabbos, there's no non-Jew, no donkey, no shaita, what are you going to do? Your wallet's here, it's going to be, you have this $10,000 in your wallet, and it's almost Shabbos, what do you do? Rabbi Yitzchak, Oida Cheres Haisa, there really was another heter that Chazal had to help remedy the situation, to save the wallet, but L'Ratza Chacham L'Galaisa, the sages did not want to reveal it. So the Gemara asked, my Oida Cheres Haisa, what was this other option that there was? If a person transports it less than 4 amas at a time, that's not going to be the issa deraisa of itzah. And therefore, in that case, the Rabbanan said that we allow that to do less than 4 amos at a time. And that the Gemara asked, "Am I lerotz Chacham lagaloisa? Why didn't the Chacham want to reveal this way? They concealed the words of Torah. If it's an option, why didn't they say it? The person could have saved all his money." And that the Gemara quotes a pasuk of Mishlei, "Mishum kavoy delikim," because the honor of God, haster davar, is to conceal the item, to conceal the thing. And that is, you're permitted to hide words of Torah, that's the haster davar, for the kavod shemayim, for the honor of the heaven. However, the pasuk continues, "Uchvoid malachim," that the honor of kings, charkar davar, is to analyze the thing. And that is, we don't hide and shame away from it, we analyze everything that the king is doing. And that the Gemara asks, so you're saying that you're allowed to conceal words of Torah for kavod shemayim because there might be some type of a disgrace, a chilul shemayim that might come out of it, even though it's true halacha, which in this case would be to transport less than 4 amos at a time, which is really an option. And that the Gemara asks, v'hacha mai kavod elikimika, what honor is there for Hashem by concealing this halacha of being able to transport less than 4 amos at a time if you have none of the other options? And the other Gemara says the reason is because Dilma Asla Tuyid Al Ramas Bishusaram. Because a person might come to transport it 4 amos and Bishusaram. If we let him to do it less than 4 amos at a time, as it's getting dark, I mean, it's a shady neighborhood, he's walking less than 4 amos, he might come to carry it more than 4 amos and Bishusaram. Therefore, we concealed it for the covet of Akim, for the covet of Hashem, because he might come to the Chil Hashem if he let you do it less than 4 amos at a time. Now, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, which was this idea that we allow you to give it to the guy if it's going to be about Shabbos and you have your wallet and you have no other option. So Tanu Linda Bryce had two versions regarding this halacha. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Baiba Yemen, that day, and this was the day that they went up to the attic in Hananya ben Chizkiah's house, which that is the day when they decreed the 18 things, the Yudches Davar, and this is one of the 18, as the Gemara says in the first parak on Daf Yedzayin and Beis, that you give your wallet to the non-Jew. On that day is when they made this gezerah that you shouldn't carry it less than 4 amos at a time if there is a non-Jew. So on that day, Rabbi Elazar says, "Gad shusa," that they piled up this quantity of produce, which really what it's trying to say is that they went far to make fences for the Torah with a plentiful measurement, but they measured properly. That they made a fence, although it's going further than what the boundaries normally are, which is when you pile up things in a pile. However, they did it to protect the Jews from being over and carrying more than 4 amos in the Shusar Rab, and they're wild and on Shabbos. However, Bishu argues, and he says, "By Bayim, on that day, Machgusa, they leveled the pile." And that is, what they ended up doing is, because since they piled it up too high, that is, they went too far with the decrees. And people weren't able to withstand their gezeres, and because of that, people were over even on divrei Torah, on biblical commandments. And therefore, it comes out that what you tried piling up, you made it worse than what you wanted to do, and therefore, everything fell down what was supposed to be. Tanya has learned in the Braisa, Mashal Rabbi Elazar Lamad Avadema. What could Rabbi Elazar, who said that it was a good amount, that it was extra what it was, should have been, but it was holding it there and keeping what could be there, what could that be compared to? Lekupa Malei Kishun Bidlun. To a box that's filled with melons and gourds. Now, Adam Nisan Teicha Chardel, a person could put in mustard seeds inside of it, and it contains it, holds it there. It holds the mustard seeds because it falls between the melons. Here also, they were Mesak and Gutakonis, and they added on more than was before, but that it holds it because there are these holes that it could slip into. However, Moshul Rabbi Shua Lamada with them, what could Rabbi Shua be compared to that he said they went too far and now what they were masakin is going to make them be over even the Isuri Deraisa of caring for Amos and Shusar Abim? He compares it to La Areva Malay Dvash, to a bucket that's full with honey. Nice and Latechi, reminding Magazim, if you put in it pomegranates and nuts, Vimakia, and it spits out the honey. In other words, the honey's filled up to the top. If you put in something and you submerge it, it's going to make these things come out. It's going to make more honey come out because it's the weight of the pomegranates and the nuts is making the honey that's there come out. Here also, with the decrees, they caused people to be over because maybe you said that you can't carry it less than 4 amos and Shusar Abim at a time because you're concerned, Kavod Elokim. So you said, give it to the non Jew. Maybe the person, the Jew, is not going to trust the non Jew. And they're not going to let their money just go to waste. And since the Chacham didn't let them walk less than 4 amos at a time, they didn't want it because of this. They're afraid. So now a person's not going to let his money just go to waste. And he's not going to give it to the non-Jew because the non-Jew is not giving back $10,000. And therefore he's going to come to carry it 4 amos in Shabbat and be even the Issa Deraisa. Therefore it says they went too far. They should have allowed doing it less than 4 amos at a time. Now the Gemara returns discussing our Mishnah. Omamar. If there is no non-Jew, the Mishnah said, you put on the donkey. To which the Gemara asks, How could you put it on the donkey and let the donkey carry it for you? For Amos and Shusar Abim, v'loy mechamer. But there's the iser of what's called mechamer, which is you're leading your donkey that's laden with items that it's carrying. That's called mechamer. And Rachman Amar, the Torah says, loy satsikam alacha. You should not do any work. And the pasuk continues, atu vehemtecha, you and your animal. And now what is the type of malacha that's done through the person and his animal? That's when it's laden with items, and he's leading it. That's called machamer. That's that the pasuk says you're not allowed to do. So how could you have the animal carried for you in Rosh Hashanah if you can't have your animal do it either? So Amar Rav Hadbar Hava, the way you do it is, manicho leh kashim aleches. You put on the animal as it's going. And that is, once it started moving, so therefore, and then you put it on, so it never did an akira, it never picked it up. As the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos Nav Gimel, when a person's friends laden up on him food items and drink items, now there it's permitted because he never did Akira. He was moving already when they put it on. Now since a person is not going to be Chayav Chatzis in that type of case, so here it's going to be Mutter because here also it says Malacha. And that's not being called doing a Malacha of Haitzah, which you have to have Akira and Hanacha. And since you never picked it up, people put it on you. Here also when they put it on, when the animal's already going, that's considered they never did Akira. So therefore, it's not going to be chayiv for the Isra Beitzah, and therefore there's no problem of mechamer, of leading the donkey, by letting it do a melacha Beitzah. But that the Gemara asks, so that helped the first second when it started going, but it's not possible that your animal, your donkey, is not going to stop to urinate or to excrete, to let out and to urinate and to do whatever it has to do, and therefore there's going to be akira and anacha because it's going to lead into an akira anacha. That is, when it goes after it urinated and has to get back, start moving again, that movement is an akira after it urinated or after it was matl glolim. And therefore, so although it helped the first second when you put it on, but ultimately it's going to stop and start again, that's a new akira and anacha, and then it's going to be chayv v'machamer then. So that thing resolves it again. When it's going, then you put it on. You always wait till it starts and then you put it on. When it stops, then you take it off of it. And then once it starts going again, after it finished what it had to take care of, then you put it back on again. So it never ever is going to have an akira, even when it has to stop to urinate, because you take it off. And then once it starts going, then you put it on again. And that the Gemara asks, if that's the case that we're talking about, that you constantly take it off, put it on when it stops and starts, so that it never has an akira, so that it never doing haitzah, and never you're not liable for mechamer, then even his friend also it should be permitted to be doing like that, because since there's no issa deraisa being done over here, so regarding a wallet, which we are lenient, and we allow, for example, a mirla akim, you should permit it to be doing like your friend like that. That your friend should carry it when he starts moving, and then you put it on him, so therefore no akira and anacha is being done, and that should be permitted, although generally that's issa drabanan to do even a hanacha, or doing even part of that, but since no issa deraisa, and we permit these issur drabanan like a mirla akim, we should permit it by his friend doing it also. And that the Gemara says no. There's a difference between an animal and his friend, because Amar Papa, kol shebegufi chayiv chatas, in any case where if he himself had done it himself, then he'd be liable for chayiv chatas, which is, for example, if someone is transporting something, dalad amas, four amas in Rosh Hashanah, even if he picks it up from the ground as he's going to be liable for haitzah, because he picked up the object with his hand. And we don't need this idea about standing and then to have it being put on you, only when someone's putting it on you or when you did it from before Shabbos, where he never picked up the object himself, then you have to be standing, so then akira's gufa, then the movement of your the initial movement of your body will be considered the movement of the akira, the uprooting of the object. But here, he himself, if he picks it up, even as he's walking, that would be the akira of the object, and then he would be liable if he stops, which would be considered the hanacha of the object. So therefore, what you yourself would be doing, b'chaveri potter avalasar, then even if you do it with your friend, although it's going to be potter, but it will be asr. And that is, although it's not going to be a nisa deraisa, as we mentioned before, because his friend's not doing the akira, but he is doing the akira, and his friend is going to be placed on him, that shnayim shasu, that they're going to be doing the malacha v'tzah together. So therefore, you can't do it with your friend. But kol shechaveri potter avalasar, whatever by his friend, in this case, which is when he picks it up as he's moving, and then he puts it back on his friend when he's moving, that there would be pata aval aser, b'chamari mutalikat chila, regarding a donkey, then it's permitted totally, because there is no halacha of shnayim shasu on an animal. It only would be a problem of the complete malacha of itzah being done by his animal. which would be only if it was a Kiryat Hanochah. In this case, it's not going to be on the Kiryat Hanochah, because again, he only puts it on the animal once he's moving, and therefore the animal never did an Akira, which is, although that's okay by the animal, that's not okay by his friend, because that would be the equivalent of Shnayim Shasu, him doing it with his friend, and that would be an Isser, a Dirabonon of Shnayim Shasu. So now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. Amrav Adbar Hava. If, let's say, his bundle was on his shoulder, and that is, it's Erev Shabbos, and it's getting dark, it's almost Shabbos. Now, he's carrying something on his shoulder. What can he do? So here, although our Mishnah spoke about giving it to the non-Jew, there is something else that he could do. If it's on his shoulder, he runs under, in other words, he's carrying the burden, the load, until he gets to his house. And that's because as long as he doesn't stop, there's never an Akira to make it Asa. As we said before, that you have to have an Akira Anochin B'chai V'itzah. Now, if before Shabbos you never stopped and you're continuously going, although you're going to have an Anocha at some point, but you never had an Akira, and therefore we allow you to run to get to your house because you're never doing the Issa De'Raisa, and therefore just like we permit Amir La'akim, we permit you to continue walking. However, the Gemara says, Davka Ratz, this isn't necessarily if you're running. Avakali Kali, but doing it a little bit, in other words, just trotting or walking slow, that is not mutter. My time, what's the reason? You never stopped, so therefore it should be the same heter of continuing to go. And the reason is, kiven deles le'akira, since there's no sign, it's not visibly that what's going on over here, that is, you might come to do a malacha, because you're not going to realize, asi le'mevet akira anocha, you might come to do an akira and hanocha, because you're walking as you normally would do, and therefore you might stop and look around and see what's going on, and then you're going to be doing the Issa De'Raisa of Oitzah, and that's what only if you're running. If you're running, then you realize that this is a different situation, and therefore you're not going to come to stop, then we allow you to continue, even if Shabbos is going on, as you're going and you're getting home 20 minutes later, whatever it is, as long as you're running. However, the Gemara asks, Saif, Even if we allowed this running because he never did an Akira, there's still a problem that you're going to encounter. Kimati lebeis, when you reach your house, it's not possible that you're not going to have to stop for a second to go ahead and open the door, whatever it is, and then you're going to be over on the Isra of transporting from Meshus Aram to Meshus Yachad. That you're going to be having that Haitzah from one to the other. So how does it help? Even if you're running, it's Shabbos when you're going to ultimately going to be taking it from Rishus Rabbim into Rishus Yachad, which is the Isra Beitzah. And that the Gemara says, there's a way around that too also, the Zerik LeKalachayat, that you throw it into the Rishus Yachad in a backhanded way, not the way it's normally thrown. For example, he throws it from his shoulder backwards into the Rishus Yachad. There, it's not going to be the Isra De'Raisa Beitzah either, because it's Kalachayat, an indirect way. Therefore, we allow a person to run and then to throw it kalachayad, because that is again a heter that we will lenient, because it's not going to be the iser of haitzah. Amar Rami Bar Chama, continuing on the theme of hamachamer, if someone leads his animal, achar bahamta b'shabbos, he leads his animal on Shabbos, so b'shogeg chayav chatas, if he does it inadvertently, he's liable for chatas, b'mezus chayav skila, if he does it intentionally, he's chayav for skila. My time, what's the reason? Where is this iser of machamer regarding, we don't find it in Lama Tesva Lachas? Amirav, it's a pasuk d'amakra. The pasuk in Shemai says, "Leisasikam alocha, you shouldn't do any work. Atu behemtecha, you and your animal," which teaches you, "Behemtei dumi today, his animal like him. Mahu b'shogeg chayev chatas b'mezel chayev skila." Just like the person himself, if he would do the malach himself, if he does it unintentionally, he's liable for karmel chatas. If he does it intentionally, he's liable for skila to be stoned. Behemtei nami, so to his animal also would be the same type of alocha, b'shogeg chayev chatas b'mezel chayev skila, that if he does the work together with his behema, that's what's called mechamer, after if he's leading his donkey that's laden with produce or whatever it is it's going to have, it's going to have the same halacha that if he does it inadvertently, it's chayav chatas, and intentionally it's going to be chayav for skila. However, the Gemara asks, Amar Rava, shtei tshuvas b'davar. Rava says, I have two problems with this lima that you're learning about the chiv of mechamer, b'shogeg being chatas, and b'mezel being skila. Chada, first of all, the chsiva says the pasuk in Bamidbar. There should be one halacha for you, for someone that does something inadvertently, that is regarding the chiv of chatas, what you have when you do an issa b'shogeg. And the pasuk continues, and that the person that does it with outstretched hand, and that the Gemara says, that pasuk is said in the parasha of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship, which compares all the mitzvahs, all the Torah, regarding their chiv of b'shogeg to Avodah Zarah, and that teaches ma Avodah Zarah to Avodah Ma'aseh B'Gufo, just like by idol worship, is something that you did in action with your own body, and then you're going to be chiv a chayiv for a chatas. Here also, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, you're only liable for a karban chatas only if you do a malacha with your own body, as it says, la'isa bishkaga, someone that does it inadvertently. Now here by mechamer, you didn't do any malacha, you just spoke, which is that you led the animal with your voice, and therefore when you do bishkaga, you should not be chayav a karban. So that's one problem I have, that you said mechamer, you're going to be chayav a karban if you do bishkaga. But another problem regarding this, that you said it, if you did mechamer, if you led the laden animal, bemazed intentionally, that you chayav skila, I have a different problem. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that talks about all the people that get skila, that get stoned, regarding someone that's mechal Shabbos, that he gets skila. It says that if he was mechal something, then he's chayiv for his shogeg or chatas, and someone that has been mazed, he gets skila. Now, what could be inferred is, as we learned in the Mishnah, it says, ha-mechal is a Shabbos, bedavish ha-chayiv and ha-shegegos e-chatas v'azdoin skila. As we said, someone that's mechal, he desecrates the Shabbos regarding something that you're liable for your shogeg, achatas, and your mazed is skila. That's what it was talking about there in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Now, mechal, that could be inferred, the ikamidi, that there is something, that there would be a certain chil of Shabbos, the ein chayav na shegagas echatas v'loyaz doin eskila, that you would not be liable for when you do it inadvertently echatas and b'mezer eskila. Umayni, what would that be? Lav de mechamer, isn't it obviously referring to the meloch of mechamer? Not like you said, that it's not going to be a chiv chatas as I proved already, and it's not going to have a skila, because what else is going to be not have a chiv of skila on the halachas of Shabbos? Olam etes melochas a chiv of skila. And therefore, although you have a pasuk, I have two questions. One, the first pasuk, I proved to you that there's no chiyuv chatas. And the second question I have is, obviously, when it says there's one exception that doesn't have skila, obviously refers to mechamer, because what else? And therefore, I have a problem with your halacha that you're saying mechamer chayav chatas and skila. And that the Gemara answer is no. Regarding his second question, like, tchumen ba'libid Rebbe Akiva, what is the halacha that's not going to have skila if it's done b'mezid on Shabbos? That's a halacha of going out of the boundaries, the 2,000 amas of the city. According to Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Kiva learns that tchumen is deiraisim. The boundaries of how far a person could go on Shabbos is a chiv deiraisim, and therefore would be a chil Shabbos. However, you're not going to be chayiv a chatas when it's done b'shagig, or a skila when it's done b'mezid, because it's not similar, it's not learned out from the, like the lama tesim halacha. It has its own pasuk, and therefore, although it's an iser, but there's no skila, and there's no chiv chatas. Another Teresa Gemara gives, or v'havara libe Rebbe Yosi, it's talking about the iser of kindling a fire on Shabbos, which is like the opinion of Rebbe Yosi that he says in Perikol Gadol Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, that havara l'lav yotzasa, that the melacha of havara, although it's one lamatas melachas, there's a special pasuk that was taught to, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yosi, to say that it's different than all the lamatas melachas. That here, although it's a prohibition, it's not going to get skila, and therefore the second question of Abaye is not difficult, because although it says that there is one that's not going to have chiv skila, that's not a reference to mechamer. That's either a tchumen according to Rebbe Akiva or havar according to Rebbe Yosi. However, the first question of the Gemara still applies. That how does he resolve that it seems to say that it's only something that you do with your body that you're chayav chatas, and mechamer is not done with your body? But that is the machlekes between Abaye and Rava. Do we say that a mechamer is going to be chayav a chatas b'shoigig or not? And similarly, the machlekes that they had was regarding if it's going to be chayav skila if it's done b'mezid or not.